Blog Talk Radio.
We are all one planet, all one people of Earth, all one planet, sharing our living, our dying, our birth, and we won't stand by watching her die.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak with your host, Beth Miller. All points of view must be brought to light if we're to reach the wisest solutions to challenges we face. Guests on Your Turn to Speak have unusual insights to bring to the collective conversation. They have been invited because of the positive impact of their loving presence on Earth. Though their ideas may be hidden by the glare of the mainstream focus, their perspectives are guaranteed to inspire and enrich us all. And now, here's your host, Beth Miller.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak. I'm your host, Beth Miller. As I was perusing one of our local newspapers, I came across an announcement under Calendar of Events that piqued my interest. It said Davis Sound Therapy Testing in Syracuse. Well, having a passionate curiosity about holistic approaches to health, I read on to learn that Doreen Davis, president and founder of the Davis Center, located in Sukasana, New Jersey, would be offering diagnostic evaluations for therapy protocol at the Nature Times store in Syracuse, New York. The thought came to me, wouldn't it be great to have her as a guest on the show? So I took a chance and called her at the number listed in the paper, and thankfully, she agreed. Considered the world's foremost sound-based therapist, Doreen Davis offers a special variety of sound-based therapies that enhance learning, development, and wellness. These therapies are based on how the body uses the vibrational energy of sound received from outside sound sources, and how the body's systems perceive and utilize these frequencies or frequency combinations. The Davis Center that she founded is the only center of its kind in the world. Ms. Davis's extensive background and over 45 years of experience provide the foundation for the Davis Center's unique focus and evaluative protocol. She has combined her knowledge of educational and rehabilitational audiology, her experience as a teacher ranging from kindergarten through college, and her credentials in 20 different sound-based therapies to develop the Davis model of sound intervention, as well as her Tree of Sound Enhancement therapy philosophy, which she will be discussing during this hour. A large percentage of Ms. Davis's clients are persons considered autistic. However, she has worked with thousands of people, young and old, learning challenged and, quote, normal, making positive change in collaboration with their response to sound. She has received numerous awards and honors as a leader and businesswoman. She's also the author of several books. They include Sound Bodies Through Sound Therapy, Everyday a Miracle, Success Stories with Sound Therapy, Otitis Media, Coping with the Effects in the Classroom, and A Parent's Guide to Middle Ear Infections. It is a great privilege to introduce Doreen Davis. Ms. Davis, it's your turn to speak.
Thank you so much, and thanks for inviting me. I'm very glad to be coming to the Syracuse area. What your little newspaper did not say is that I am semi-retiring to that area.
Oh.
My family, my daughter and my grandchildren, son-in-law, live over in Manlius, New York. So I plan on moving to that area probably next year as I close my Sukasana New Jersey office, and I don't want to work all the time, but I want to work
sure.
some of the time, mainly because what I, as you explained, with the progression of my work, has evolved to a place where I anticipate having products and then teaching sessions for training people to be able to utilize some of my work within other practices. I don't know if you mentioned my most recent book called The Cycle of Sound, A Missing Energetic Link, but it's that book that brings the Davis model to its newest level. And I actually have another one coming out either at the end of this year or the beginning of next year, which is a simpler version, but again, teaching people the technique called O-toe toning. I'm sure we'll go through some of my pulling things together, but O-toe toning is really the final piece for people to remain in balance harmonically. Everything to me is, you know, I'm looking at the harmonics and the energy of the body. So that's what I'm looking for. So, yes, I'm very excited to be coming to Central New York.
Oh, that is great, and it's our great fortune that you will be coming to this area.
Well thanks. I have had a chance.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I've also had the opportunity to talk with some of the other healing professionals in the area. Some people have expressed me they're coming to present to various groups or to set up like a side kind of connection, which is how I got involved with Nature Time, because Wendy Meyerson was very receptive to what I was doing, allowed me to come first to present, which I did in March, and then I've been testing a few times, and I will through the end of October at her place before I find the home that I expect to be in moving forward. So it's exciting.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm sure that there will be a lot of people or a lot of organizations that will certainly be able to benefit from your great knowledge base. But as a segue, you talked a little bit about auto-toning and in the sense of harmonic vibrations of the body. So I wonder if maybe we could introduce our interview with the idea of discussing vibration. In particular, how sound vibrations affect our health and well-being.
Sure. To me, everything in the world is a vibration. even inanimate objects have been demonstrated to give out vibrations. So when there is a vibration, there is a sound frequency associated with that vibration. And for me, sound is not a hearing function. Sound is a brain function. Because hearing is just within the sensory system, within certain frequency response levels. But, for example, every cell in your body emits and takes in its own frequency, and those frequencies have been correlated to your voice, by the way. So that is important. But more importantly is the brain knows and hears all those frequencies. So as far as vibration, as we are giving out and taking in sound, when we feel together with someone else, let's say somebody walks in the room and you automatically feel an affinity, very often their frequencies are complementing your frequencies or vibrations, and so you resonate together. You are in balance. There are times when some of the frequencies measure up with yours and others don't. So it's like, okay, you know, I can get along with this person. And yet there are other times when you're like, I just don't want to be connected with this person, mainly because the frequencies are not allowing that to happen. Now, part of my process using vibration is to determine how a person is in balance within what I have labeled the voice-ear-brain connection. I introduced that back in 2011 to the International Society for the Study of Subtle Energy and Energy Medicine as a previously unidentified subtle energy system in the body. So if we now look at the importance of that, we have to stay resonantly in balance between our voice, our ear, and our brain. It's substantiated within my whole Davis model of sound intervention by three key points. And so the first one is involving that subtle energy system that there are five laws to support it, saying that first three tell you basically that your voice produces what your ear hears. If there's irregular mm-hmm. patterns, you reintroduce mm-hmm. those frequencies to the ear to balance that up. That's known as the Tomatis effect. Back in 2004, I introduced at our Acoustical Society of America two additional laws, which I now call the Davis Addendum to the Tomatis effect, because what I did was I measured the output of the ear. Again, with everything resonating and giving in and out sound, our ear also gives out a sound. So if we understand that, what I did... Isn't that something?
Kind of amazing. Yeah? It's amazing to me that the ear gives off a sound mm-hmm. or emits a vibration from itself. Mm-hmm. You know, you always think of the ear as being the receptor of the sound mm-hmm. waves, not the emitter of them. So I was
Absolutely.
Curious, when the brain does this, or when the ear does this, is it simultaneous to when the voice is speaking?
Oh, it gives out sound all day long. Every second you're sitting there, sound is coming out. Every cell in your body is resonating, and so everything is coming out of your ear. And so my research captured all this. It's called spontaneous otoacoustic emission. I took all of those frequencies and I looked at all of the irregular patterns coming out of the ear with the irregular patterns in the voice, and I found a 100% correlation, which is rare in research. It was very exciting. So I know that this feedback loop between the voice and the ear is key and paramount to our ability to stay balanced, but the brain being the conductor of all these frequencies, I have to make sure I am enhancing the voice, the ear, but also the cell structure, and understand how sound transports itself through the body, not as a hearing function. Because our mindset, as you just said, isn't it surprising to learn that we give out a sound with the ear? Researchers that have studied that are looking at it diagnostically, and so they've modified that, and they have testing that you can get from audiologists called otoacoustic emission testing, but it's not spontaneous testing. As far as mm-hmm. I'm aware, there's really only one person who tried to use spontaneous otoacoustic emissions for a purpose in life, and that was a gentleman from the University of Southampton in England, where he was looking at it as an identifier possibility for airports. But the reason why it doesn't always work is while the ear gives out sound, if you are exposed to other vibrations, you're going to be able to alter that sound. So it's not going to always be the key. I call it your keynote, it can change over time, although it can last for a long time, too, if that's your most needy area. So when I talk about ototoning, what I do is, I just had my patent accepted, which is exciting. I'm just trying to find ways to help bring it to market. I know. Thank you very much. That was an exciting point in my life. But now I'm just looking for the investment part of it, because I've had students at Worcester Polytechnic Institute over in Worcester, Massachusetts help me with this. And so, in fact, literally 3 hours ago was the first time I saw the prototype for it, so that was very exciting. But what the device will do is capture the output, scan the output, and determine what is your most important keynote of the day. And then the person will take that sound, and through a way I call ototoning, it's a special way, it's not just toning, it's a special way of toning the sound into your whole body to help maintain your ability to be resonant for the day. It's not always something you should or could do immediately if the body's off balance to begin with. And if you are, and in a couple of my books mm-hmm. I talk to you about how to know if you're off balance. And if you are, then you need to use the protocol for the therapies that I put together that you mentioned, the diagnostic evaluation. So it's a big process.
Yes. Now, just out of curiosity, the emanations from the ear, what if by chance someone is deaf? Do they mm-hmm. still have emanations from the ear in the same way someone who is hearing would?
That, I'm still working on that, but because I really feel the sound is coming from the brain, I can't say that for sure because I don't have the research to back that yet, but I think the sound is coming from the brain and using the ear as the emitter. And so typically people who are deaf, it really depends upon to what degree of deafness is there. So I haven't had the opportunity to explore that research yet, but I do know that deaf people process sound. They just may not hear the sound. Because if they have cells in their body, their brain knows what those frequencies are. So, for example, when I work with a deaf person and I have done what's called vocal analysis and I'm trying, we mentioned my tree, I haven't explained my tree yet, but the wellness piece of my tree of sound enhancement therapy works from taking vocal analysis, determining which frequencies of the cells are not mathematically balancing yourself. We introduce that through the skin and the bones, and you're going to take in vibration throughout your whole body. Just people assume that the only way you're going to hear sound is through your ear. That's not true.
So we hear through all of our body.
We process sound through all of our body.
I see, yes.
That's a big difference.
Well, okay, all right. We process sound through all of our body, including the systems of the brain and even probably the cell on the cellular level and the circulatory level and skin level.
Sound travels through your entire system, whether it's circulatory or skin or any other biological system. And it's going to, because every molecule, every atom will, sound just keeps going until there is a blockage to impede it, but then it's still going to weaken, and we're going to be able to stimulate that. So every time there's any movement within the cell, the brain is going to pick that up. It's a very fast response.
Interesting. You know, when I mentioned to my husband that you would be coming to this area, he was very pleased, and he probably will be coming to visit with you when you come to Nature Time, because he has suffered a chronic situation with a ringing in his ear for years. And he's, you know, basically been told that nothing really can be done about it. And when I was trying to explain to him a little bit about the voice, ear, and brain connection, and maybe there could be some help in neutralizing that, he was very interested. And I wonder if you could, in case some of our other listeners may be suffering from ringing in the ears, if you could suggest a possible protocol that might be of help.
Sure. First of all, ringing in the ears, typically they're called tinnitus or tinnitus, depending upon who's talking about it. I use tinnitus as the word, as the label. And I have numerous clients who come to me who have that because they just, first of all, they come to me because they assume as an audiologist that that's what I'm going to be working on. And yes, I do, but that's not all I do because I'm working at sound now. But, for example, I have found that within why the body has tinnitus, it can come from a number of sources. I no longer second guess as to what the person's causative factors are, and I can't diagnose. I just look at energy imbalances. So, for example, I have somebody right now who's coming to me with tinnitus. I had it for many, many years. It's gotten worse. And so sometimes it can be in the nerve sheathing, I find, in called myelin, and imbalances in that, and how the neurological system is getting the sound. Other times it can be associated with particular hearing loss. Sometimes it can be associated with dietary issues. Now, I'm not going to be saying I'm going to diagnose nutrition issues or any of that stuff. What I do is I work from the energy patterns and support the body in its own self-healing approach, because that's really what I'm all about. I am looking at helping the body self-heal from within by addressing the core cellular imbalances resonantly, as well as making sure the balance between the voice, the ear, and the brain works.
So in a way, the self-healing is the major component of the actual therapeutic process.
Yes, and along the way what happens, because people come to me because of the way we function in the world today with medical diagnoses and or learning challenges. And while they come to me with those diagnoses, I don't go by those diagnoses anymore. I go by what I see in my testing from sound and vibrations response in the body. And then as I peel away the layers of non-resonance or non-function, what happens is the body then has a chance to say, oh, okay, that's the way I'm supposed to understand that. Let me try to work that way. And so the body takes charge. And what's been fascinating to me is sound, once I really do is set the programming in place, sound goes to your weakest area of need and begins this process of rebalancing. It's fascinating. Now, I have to do more research with that in over the years, but you know, until I close this office in New Jersey, I have really been focusing more on just following through and helping the thousands of people come to me from around the world. And when I come to the Syracuse area, while I will continue to work with people, I have other possibilities that I want to do. Like one is I want to get the Odo Toner device and out there, and I also have a product that will be a simpler version of my diagnostic evaluation for therapy protocol that I hope to have as an online program where people will just be able to purchase a special headphone and then do this all through the internet, which will be wonderful. And so, again, I'm working with Worcester Polytechnic on that. So,
it'll be reaching more people than maybe you could otherwise reach in just a one centralized center.
Oh, yes, absolutely, and I'm excited about that. It'll be more cost-effective because right now what's difficult is I'm not about, like there are many people who get trained in this method or that method or the other method, and as you said, I'm trained in over 20 of these sound-based therapies, and I soon learned that each one of them could be doing something different, and instead of just saying, hey, let's try this one, that didn't work for me. I don't work from that way. I've never done anything I've ever done. I want to have the foundational pieces for testing. And then, because my tree analogy, the way that works is I have this tree that's super embedded within the silhouette of a head, and it's a six-part tree.
Let's talk about that.
Go right there, right?
Yeah.
I started out as a four-part tree in my book, Sound Bodies Through Sound Therapy, and that's really what my diagnostic evaluation is based on. But my last book, The Cycle of Sound, A Missing Energetic Link, talks about a six-part tree. So the way the tree works is the seed of the tree is your body rhythms. You have many, many rhythms, but the two that probably most people are aware of are your heart rate and your breath stream. So if you have, I know for me, if I drink coffee late at night, my heart is racing. So I know that there's a way. And the physics principle is called entrainment. And so what I can do with sound and vibration is entrain yourself to have that calm down and repattern it. So also, let's say for children that are hyperactive, attention deficit with hyperactivity, their movements are so much faster. And again, if you entrain the rhythm patterns of the body, you can slow a lot of that down. And then from the a seed, I go to the roots of the tree. And the root is really the only time I talk about hearing, and not so much hearing loss anymore, but over-responsiveness to sound.
Oh,
and I've identified four types of over-responsiveness. The root is only going to address one of them, and that's more related to the physiology of the ear. Once I get that done, then I'm going to move into the trunk of the tree, which is who and how and what the person functions like every day. But it's for me, what I'm looking at is how they process sound through their ear canal, which we call air conduction, how they process sound through their skeleton, which we call bone conduction, and also how they're going to respond with their voice. So that's key for me. And it's more a mental process of how you tune in and listen to sound versus the physiological response for hearing sound. And so then we move up into the leaves and branches of the tree, and it's two parts. The lower part is the only time I talk about the term auditory processing. As an audiologist, I used to do testing called central auditory processing, but what that does is it separates out how the two ears hear sound, process it, send it to the brain. That doesn't help me within our ability to process sound. So what I use now is functional auditory processing testing. And then mm-hmm. I go to the upper leaves and branches, and that's going to be how you function in either academics and communication. So when I just meet somebody, I can tell pretty much without testing, but yet the testing always surprises me where they might fall on that tree. Do they have issues in certain areas? And in our world today, because we are so heavy into the testing, which is great, but unfortunately a lot of what we do is what I do now is really more at the quantum level, which we can't quantify as easily yet. So a lot of all the wonderful programs are at the leaves and branches because there's standardization to it. But very often that should not be the starting place. Very often if you don't get the core issue out of the way, those are just going to keep on coming back or just be like splinter approaches for success. And then that tree, as I said, is buried in the silhouette of the head, and it is our voice that tells me the self-frequency patterns of that are off balance in the body, and it is the voice that will be used to rebalance the body, especially with my technique of auto-toning. So when I see someone, I do my currently diagnostic evaluation for therapy protocol. I come up with a protocol of therapies for them to use. And right now we can do those therapies for the most part at home. I do need to see people periodically for retesting. So that it's a whole process. And so I'm very excited for when I get the future piece done, we'll be able to do that all online. So that's really exciting.
It is exciting. Just from a practical point of view, say, for example, I had a child with autism, and I could see that, you know, there was just a sense of overstimulation. I mean, the child might be banging his head or just you could tell that sounds were just really overwhelming to this child. Where would we begin? Would there be a necessity for the child to be able to handle headphones, for example, or where would we begin?
Everyone who comes to me must begin with the diagnostic evaluation for therapy protocol. I don't have any leeway about that anymore mm-hmm. because I don't second guess. But as far as mm-hmm. autistic population, I think for about 10 years I had an Autism One radio show, and I would promote all around the world, really, within the autism situation. And I've helped numerous clients. One of them, I'll never forget, he was one of my very earliest clients. I was presenting at a group for autistic parents, and a mother came up to me before starting, and she says, I'm here to support the group. My child doesn't need what you're doing, and I just want you to know I had to leave early because I'm coaching soccer. I said, well, thanks. I appreciate your letting me know. So she was still there at the end of my presentation, and she jumped up as soon as I said my last word. She says, oh, my God, you are just what my child needs. I'm calling you tomorrow. Well, it was cute because we began a journey together that was very memorable. She did call, and we set the appointment, and he needed a root system therapy. He was a child that was a head-banging autistic child. He only had 5 words in his vocabulary. He used to wear a helmet for safety purposes, and mm-hmm. he was 2 years old. And so we began doing a root system therapy in order to change. He had some issues associated with the hearing physiology, and I needed to address that first. So mm-hmm. at the time, I was doing what was called an outreach where I actually did the therapies out. That was a long time ago. I don't have to do that anymore. But she decided she was going to prove me wrong, and I love this. So she kept this copious journal. She was a riot. She would sit there while I was listening, just writing everything down. She would write everything down for the rest of the day. And at that mm-hmm. time, I would test the child 5 days into the program to see about programming for the second 5 days. So mm-hmm. she said, whoa. She says, well, he's already speaking. Only had, remember, 5 words. He's already speaking in one and two-word sentence combinations, and his vocabulary just jumped and skyrocketed. And that's 5 days. I said, okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. So then by 10 days, and he also used to react to the fluorescent lights over him. The end of 10 days,
right.
The father said, all right, I guess I've got to say that there's something going on here. This kid is a major change. Is now he was speaking in 3 and 4 word sentences. So they recognized that change occurred. They couldn't come back to me immediately, and back then I really didn't have everything I have in place now. So I had given them something to do at home before they could come back to me to do a trunk of the tree therapy. Mm-hmm. When he returned and to begin the trunk of the tree therapy, it was 3 months later. He had gone from 3 to 4 word sentences to really 5 and 6 words, expanded his vocabulary just amazingly. And then he began a trunk of the tree therapy, which is very brain intensive. Well, mm-hmm. he just so skyrocketed. The father used to go around and introduce him to, okay, tell them the state, United States. Remember, he's not yet three. Tell them the United States of America. Well, he would not only know what the states were, he'd know what the capital was, what the population was, what state was above it and below it, and what it was famous for. I mean, it was just amazing. So then by the time he came back for the second time, now he's doing much, much more, and eventually he's sitting there just repeating like the bones of the body and whatnot. He was just phenomenal. So the mother was very heavy into nutrition, and she would do the speaking circuit herself. And whenever I was available, she asked if I could come and talk, and so I did.
Yes.
Well, one time when he was 4 by now, and he was so far advanced, it was just wonderful. No more sensitivities or any of that stuff. That disappeared very fast. But the father took me aside, and he said, Doreen, I don't think I want to do any more listening training programs. That's the trunk of the tree. I said, why? He's come so far. We don't want to stop. And he goes, because he's lost his savantness, meaning now he was just communicating normally. He was no longer repeating things and doing all these other special types of activities that he was doing. He was just being a normal kid. So by the time he was in kindergarten, he had an aide shadow him for a year. He has not needed special needs stuff after that, and he was a severely autistic child. So that's just one of them that you asked about. But I've helped so many people within the autism world. And today, I especially as I'm semi-retiring, I'm really trying to bridge the gap more into people of all ages. Like next week when I am at Nature Time next Friday, every single one of the people there are 50 years old and older because mm-hmm. they're looking for something outside of the ordinary. Also, when I come to the area, even though I haven't approached the people yet, I want to approach some of the baby stores because, you know, sound, again, because we're talking cell, sound itself is you should begin to stimulate sound in utero. I'm on the scientific advisory board for a company called Baby Plus, and their program starts at 4.5 months in utero. So if I start that and then do a trunk of the tree program at 7 months in utero, you've just given the child such a leg up on their potential for learning and development, as well as creating a calmer, more relaxed mother because she's just so more together resonantly. And it's really great.
That is so exciting.
And if I might just add with the... I just wanted to add, too, with what you mentioned, the autism. My grandchildren were born up in, I guess it's Kraus, which is in Syracuse.
Oh, yes.
And so, when they were born, Grandma immediately had to do what's called a voice print. That's the head of the tree thing. Because Grandma wanted to know what the possibilities were for autism. So I can tell that. That science is called human bioacoustics, developed by a woman by Sherry Edwards, and I incorporate her work and then have built on her work for my whole approach. So I threw my babies, grandbabies' voices into some of the programs to determine what issues were there and can Grandma help them, as well as look at where and how we can make sure that the little baby grows to the best of their ability. So my grandchildren are now 3 and 5.
Oh, that is so wonderful to think that at that early an age we can start intervening if necessary to give these little children a really good foundational beginning in balance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And for me, it's a jump up on their learning and the development. Why not start early, you know?
You know, it kind of brings me a little bit to thinking that many new parents are into this idea of the Mozart effect. And I was wondering if your sound-based therapies incorporated some of the, like, music therapies or sound healing approaches as well.
All right. Some of what I do is called sound-based therapy. And the way I've defined it, I'm going to introduce this, and then I'll get into the Mozart effect. The way I look at what I do, within the field of sound, I look at three categories. Sound healing, which is generic and has been around for thousands and thousands of years, where you're just looking at the vibrations of what the sound energy's patterns are doing for you. Then there's something called sound therapy, which in the way I define it is looking at the notes of the musical scale to the notes of the body and balancing those so they're better in harmony. And then my area of expertise has been a subset of sound therapy called sound-based therapy, because what I do is use specific programs, modified music, or tones or beats, the need for which is with special equipment, and always starting with the diagnostic evaluation. And then with the advent of my new process, the ototoning, it'll bridge it back to sound healing. So music therapy is not the same as sound-based therapy. Music therapy, and again, if you want the true definition, I always tell people to go to the American Music Therapy Association's website, because they've got that there. But what mine does is much more at the cell level and not the music response level. Now, my friend Don Campbell wrote the book Mozart Effect, and unfortunately Don passed away last year. But actually, I'm sitting in my office and I'm staring at a picture of him on the wall. It's funny. But he was a very good person for me to bounce things off of when I was developing my process and my theories and my concepts, because if I'm looking and furthering enhancing this voice-ear-brain connection or the subtle energy system, the important thing about the Mozart effect, and unfortunately it got a bad rap saying that all it was doing was enhancing intelligence, that's not where I'm coming from. I'm looking again at pulling the body into the more of the self-healing, balancing core position area and allowing the body to develop to its fullest potential. If that means your intelligence is enhanced, that's wonderful. But, you know, there's so much more that we can do just to make the person feel whole. So, for example, a lot of the parents of learning challenge kids or language delayed kids don't know how to play with anybody else. And so I love it when
the parent... component.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a social component to the process of sound-based therapy.
Oh, absolutely. There is so much. It's the whole person, and that's what's so very important. So for the social piece, I have parents say, oh, my gosh, Doreen, look, he's actually looking at other children. He's standing there listening to them. That's major for some parents. And then after a while, he wants to go and stand next to the children because he recognizes that something important is happening. And then over time, he may try to play with them. And so just this evolution of that connection, I think, is very important. So, for example, taking that one step further, the within the autism spectrum is something called Asperger's. And Asperger's kids are typically very literal in understanding their world. So what I might mean by that is if you say it's raining cats and dogs, they think it's really going to rain cats and dogs. So
very
I have
concrete,
a story.
Yes.
Yes. So I have a story of a young man who came to me when he was 16. And his parents said he really doesn't have any friends. We're here, you know, because the school said, you know, he could use some help in other areas. So I said, okay. So we started to work and together, and he did some of the programs. And 5 years later, he's 21, he came back and he said, I have to go back and see Doreen. So he came to me and he said, Doreen, I'm heading off to college next year. And I have to tell you that when I was here last, I was always made to feel special, always. People always making me think I was special. When I left your office, I felt normal for the first time in my life. And when I head off to college, I want to make sure I'm in that place the best I can be. So check me out and tell me if I need something more. So he did. He needed a tune-up, and I think he sensed it, which is why he came. So then he went to college. And he did have, not a shadow, but he had a special connector, counselor to check in with all the time. And they would come, mm-hmm. they came with him so that they would understand what I was doing with him. And it was so exciting. He made friends at college. He actually tried to start his own little business when he was at college. This is a young man that had so few friends, it was just heartbreaking, you know. So he just understood the subtleties of the social cues that we all give off that they didn't understand, subtleties of language inflection, like rhythm patterns, and raising a pitch, lowering a pitch. What does that mean? There's so many little subtleties that are unnoticed because the body is always working just to try to figure out what's happening. And until I bring it into this self-healing mode, pulling us back to the core issues, allowing the body to develop and move forward, it just won't happen. You're always working around your current symptoms.
You know, it almost sounds like what you're saying, in a sense, is that, you know, you're almost like, as a, you know, my husband is a piano tuner. It seems that you're a body tuner. You know, it sounds like you're kind of tuning the body so that the resonant vibrations will act in harmony with the outer environment and the inner environment.
Absolutely.
Am I getting that correct?
Yes, indeed. It's funny you mentioned him being a piano tuner. I get the most unusual referral sources. So one day a woman came to me who had 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 her vocal cords nicked in a surgery, and she sounded like a 2-year-old, and she was 48. And she came to me because of her violin instructor. To talk about coming out of an unusual place, but he knew that I made change in the voice, the ear, and the brain. In fact, I used her success story because I got her talking normal and just having a sense of who she was. She was more assured of herself even before then the surgery started, and I've used her presentation at numerous places throughout the world. So, she was one of my wonderful success stories, too.
Mm, that's great.
I love your body tuner, by the way. I love that. Thank you.
Okay. Yes. Well, I was wondering, we've discussed autism and Asperger's. Are there any other particular conditions that could best be helped by sound-based therapy? Or
I don't go by symptoms. However, that being said, whom have I seen the most? Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I see during the developmental years, I see certainly language delayed issues, learning challenges, reading issues. I mean, I had a 16-year-old young man who was a dyslexic run into my office one day, and he said, Doreen, guess what? I went home last night and I read a book cover to cover. Thank you. I didn't teach him reading. I just opened up the pathways that were already there for him to understand what it was that he was supposed to be doing. I helped, certainly attention deficit, I mentioned earlier with the rhythm, but there's other things often at play. You know what a fascinating one is? Stuttering, because there's often an imbalance in the feedback loop to their ear. I once had a 13-year-old come to me, and his mother said to me after, usually I begin to see major change in 3 months, and sometimes it takes me longer. Stutterers are an interesting one. So after 3 months, the mother said to me, she said, you know, you have done more in your 3 months with my son than 12 years of speech therapy have done. I just smiled at her. And then this was an interesting case because I had another stuttering young man come to me. And we got him to work, and the feedback loop was working. He went off, and then he was coming back to me a year later. And it was like, what's going on? Why is he not? And again, it just means that he's not strong enough between the voice and the ear. However, that being said, when I probed further, I found out that his father also is a severe stutterer. And so what did he do? He went back home and he heard the stuttering loop. And so you take in the frequencies of what you're near. And so he repeated that basic pattern. So then he came to me, and I'm doing the same thing. Oh, another case with something happened like that. I once had a woman with a traumatic brain injury. By the way, I helped those very well. A woman from, where was she from? Colorado, I think. And she had had this injury. She was a scientist. She was a well-known scientist. And she was coming to me not only for herself, but her two children who also had learning challenges. And she, after a period of time, she was saying, oh, Doreen, I can drive in a car. I can walk down the hall without falling and collapsing. I'm thinking again. My mind is coming back. I'm going to be able to eventually go back to work. Thank you. So once she was back to work, she hired a nanny.
Mm-hmm.
So she said to, called me one day out of the blue. She says, I just had a question for you. You know, this nanny that I hired has a kind of a stutter, and I'm picking it up. What's going on? And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, in your case, you're going to revert to listening to what she's saying. She says, do I have to get rid of her? I said, well, I hate to say this. You have to either try to do the therapy to keep overriding it, but if you're going to be exposed to that, you may, because of your weakened condition, pick up some of those patterns. So she eventually chose to find a different nanny just so she wouldn't have to constantly be doing all the therapies. So, I want to just add, too, I mean, I've helped stroke survivors and people with fibromyalgia, and I've helped apraxia. I've helped Tourette syndrome. I start everyone out with my diagnostic assessment, and people said, have you ever turned anyone away? Well, yeah, I have, because my whole goal is to say, can I help you, and if I can, this is the pathway I think I can help you accomplish a change. And so if I don't feel I can make a change, I don't work with the person.
I think that speaks to the integrity of the process that you use, you know, with your clients.
And I hope so, and I think they understand that.
Yes, I'm sure they do. Well, maybe we can talk just a little bit about the actual tools and equipment of what you do to determine your therapeutic protocol.
Sure.
I know we talked about headphones and.
Mm-hmm. Well, every process, every therapy I use has its own set of headphones. I will, in my new approach, I am working to put together a special headphone that will be usable for all of them. But right now, every therapy we do, because I use right now other people's therapies, and those therapies use and have specially calibrated headphones that must be used for those approaches. So what I do is I start everyone with this diagnostic evaluation for therapy protocol. It's going to be testing areas of the root, the trunk, the leaves and branches, and the head of the tree. And so once I determine where the person needs to start, if they need to start, in a therapeutic regimen, the root system therapy lasts for 10 days. You listen for a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour in the afternoon to specially chosen music, and it's placed through a device where we're going to alter it even further. And within that, I'm going to change the basic physiology of how the ear is responding and taking in sound and vibration for hearing purposes. Then when I do a seed of the tree therapy, I'm going to be, again, in training the rhythm patterns of the body for if I see that necessary. The trunk of the tree, I do what something's called the listening training programs, modeled after the concepts that Dr. Alfred Tomatis used, and that is one approach that is possible, but it's not the only one I use it right now. And that's going to, again, repattern the connections there. So there are various different, mostly everything I do, again, today can be done through various computer programs. They're not all, you can't just use one computer and download all these things. You have to have a variety of ways to use it. The lower leaves and branches, one is a computer program. One is an interactive movement program that I will use at that level. And at the upper leaves and branches, years ago, I personally designed a program that would address that based around the voice, the ear, and the brain, but I had to cut back on that because I've been more interested in developing the overall concept before I eventually someday may get back to that. And then sometimes if people just come to me with wellness issues, so for example, next week I'm going to see a woman who has some significant wellness issues, and I, when I'm in doubt if I want to use the diagnostic assessment versus that, in this lady's case, I only felt the head of the tree therapy would be necessary for her, and that's the only time I make that delineation. Otherwise, everyone must start with my diagnostic assessment. But in my meeting with her next week, if I then, from working with her, pick up some additional things, then I may say on a subsequent visit, I would like to follow up this session today with the full diagnostic to determine if there's other ways that I can support your wellness challenges. So, mm-hmm. Everything is going to use its own headphones. When we do the, most of it is done on computer, except for the head of the tree one. That's going to be using what's called a tone box with the language of frequencies and the math of the body. We analyze the math of the cell bodies and then figure out what's going to keep them in harmony. And we put that into a tone box, and you go home and you listen to that for 3 months. Then I redo it in 3 months because every time you're listening, we're changing the brain, and now you're functioning at a newer level, kind of like peeling away the onion skin. You got to get to that core issue each time until we get to the main issue that's off balance.
Interesting. Well, I have a situation that I don't know if it's appropriate for me to bring it up here or not, but I know that sound is an extremely profoundly significant influence on our well-being. And I just had this situation at home here at one point with my beloved cat. It was a Sunday morning. I was getting up, and I made myself some tea, and my cat often would sit next to me on the couch. And this one particular morning, I was stirring the tea cup with a spoon, and I made a particular sound with the spoon going against the cup. And he suddenly went into a seizure.
Oh, yes, sounds can create seizures.
And I wondered if by chance that, you know, I thought, how can this be? All I was doing was stirring the cup, and this particular, all of a sudden, everything was, you know, we were just sitting there really cozy. I was just stirring, and all of a sudden, it was immediate when this particular sound happened. My cat just went into the seizure, and I just wondered if, you know, possibly how important it is for people to get the right tones for the therapeutic process, because I think perhaps some tones can be actually detrimental. Is that correct?
Absolutely. First, let me say there are definitely seizures associated with sound, and I help a lot of people with seizures. One instance with wrong frequencies, as I had this mother of twins come to me, but she only wanted me to work with the one, and I was doing the head of the tree therapy. And so she said, well, my son is really getting better, but my other child's getting worse. I said, well, can I do something with? No. I'm giving my son's sounds to that child, too. I said, oh, you can't do that. I said, because sometimes twins are just the mirror opposite. I said, you could be making him worse. I said, we have to stop. And then something else was happening, and I said, you know, I know you don't want me to do this, but I have to take a voice from because I have to see what's going on. So when I analyzed the frequency, I found fluoride was spiking. I said, does your child get excessive fluoride? She said, oh, yes, we fluoridate our water. We put and she loves to eat fluoridated toothpaste. I said, my gosh, he's making himself sick, and it's showing up in his voice print. So it's, you know, yes, sound can be detrimental. You know, Ayn Rand in her book, which one was it? I'm forgetting which one, but she wrote it in the
40s. The Fountainhead?
Yes, I think it was The Fountainhead. And in that one, they were at the military base, and they were sitting in the bleachers, and the sheep or the goats were out in the field, and they introduced a sound and killed the goats or sheep. I mean, that sound is very powerful. Samurai warriors, I believe, when they emit a sound, they emit a sound that is so powerful it can lower the blood pressure of their opponent. So it's like knowledge of sound can be very impactful.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I can't believe it, but we're almost ready to conclude our program. And I just wondered, one important question is, how can people get in touch with you if they would like to enlist your services?
You. First, my website is thedaviscenter.com. I will be putting up on there eventually online scheduling and whatnot, but our phone number is 862-251-4637. That's 862-251-4637. But I'm on Facebook, and you spell my name Doreen, D-O-R-I-N-N-E, Davis. So I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, we have a Twitter account. Through my books, they can find out about us. I do have a new book coming out probably the end of the year, early next year, called Say It With Sound, Hum, Harmonize, and Heal, which talks about the ototoning technique even more. But basically, if they go to my email, they're more than welcome to contact me by email. That's probably the best way, is ddavis@thedaviscenter.com. So all and any of those ways are great ways to listen and or to find out where I am, especially when I come to Central New York. I'm not positive of which will be my final location.
Well, thank you for sharing your contact information. And also, I just want to remind the listeners that this program will be archived on freespiritbroadcasting.com under Your Turn to Speak. So before we end our show, is there anything you would like to say in summary to our listeners, perhaps especially those who could benefit by the therapies you offer?
If there is any feeling of being depressed, anxious, misunderstanding, not processing what others are saying, feel like there's just something off balance for you, I would strongly encourage you to have the diagnostic evaluation. If you know a child who has any type of learning challenge, sometimes it's a quick fix, sometimes it's a long drawn out fix, but I have helped thousands of developing children. It's an exciting field, and I'm really, really glad to be bringing it to the Central New York area.
Well, I want to thank you so much for being with me tonight and helping our listeners understand more about your approach to sound-based therapies. And I just want to remind the listeners that on June 26th at the Nature Times store at 3160 Erie Boulevard East in Syracuse, Doreen will be offering diagnostic evaluation for therapy protocol from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Once again, that's June 26th.
And they have to schedule, by the way, they have to schedule that ahead of time. I just don't have walk-ins. That's important.
Yes, and if you want to schedule an appointment, that number for Nature Time is area code 315-488-6300.
Except, well, let me just add, Nature Time is not scheduling. It has to be done at the 862-251-4637. They are only hosting me.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing you on June 26th.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity to share.
Thank you.
We are all
You have been listening to Your Turn to Speak with host Beth Miller. Each week, Beth features guests whose important views are often overlooked in the mainstream dialogue. You can listen to this show again at freespiritbroadcasting.com. And be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for another live, inspiring conversation on Your Turn to Speak.